Hello, I'm Caitlin Ammon, Marketing and Communications Program Officer of the Delaware Division of the Arts, and your host for today. Today's guest is Kate Ransom, Artistic Director and Violinist for Seraphin Ensemble. Welcome to Delaware State of the Arts. We're so glad to have you on the show today, Kate.
It's great to be back, Caitlin. Thank you.
So I know you've been a guest on Delaware State of the Arts before. But for any new listeners we have out there, could you tell us about Seraphin Ensemble?
Sure. Well, Seraphin Ensemble is now a growth of the Seraphin String Quartet, which functioned based in University of Delaware and in Wilmington for nearly 20 years. And a few years ago, we transitioned from Seraphin String Quartet, which was a fixed formation, to a roster of what's now 13 artists, strings, piano, winds, and vocal artists. And this group collaborates together in concerts in the Mid-Atlantic and other opportunities around the country when we get them. So it's a little bit different model. And one of the things that has also sprouted since Seraphin Ensemble was formed is Seraphin Summer Music, which is a 3-week chamber music festival in June, based at the Music School of Delaware, but then again, also performing in other venues during the 3 weeks of the festival. So we're looking forward to that in June 2022. It'll be the third Seraphin Summer Music season, and it'll feature a lot of the roster artists, but we also bring a lot of guests to join us to round out the programming.
Great. And again, just for maybe new listeners, Seraphin Ensemble does chamber music. And so I was could you mention just a little bit what chamber music is so that they would know what to expect when they arrive for a concert?
Absolutely. So chamber music is basically small ensembles of say 2 to maybe about 8 players. Mm-hmm. And we don't have a conductor. So, and it basically it's one person on a part. So it's a highly collaborative art form. It's a very in-depth process to put chamber music repertoire together and to play it well, because you have to coordinate all your choreography and your cueing within the group. So you know who's going to lead any tiny little moment when you want to take a little time or how to start the piece and so forth, what tempo is going to be set. And then more involved interpretive issues that have to be discussed and determined by the group as a whole. So it's a highly collaborative process, and collegiality and compatibility is essential, as well as well-matched playing technique and level of ability.
Okay, and that kind of leads into kind of what I was reading about it. And I think one of the descriptions I really liked while I was, kind of investigating and learning about chamber music was that it was described as the music of friends. And I think you right there kind of captured that. I was going to kind of ask, could you expand upon that? Like, what does that mean to you that it was a music of friends, and how do you feel that comes into play for Seraphin Ensemble?
Well, I think that's a beautiful description. Music of friends. So for one thing, there's just a vast repertoire of chamber music composed by the great composers. So we have riches in the repertoire that's available to us. Seraphin String Quartet was actually originally a group of 4 friends that played together just because we wanted to. And it has sort of since then grown into, let's say, a more serious professional pursuit, but that still is the spirit of the group. So I like the description of, say, a string quartet or any chamber music piece being a musical conversation amongst the players. And so I think that also speaks to the idea of, being friends or wanting to share ideas. It's just that the ideas aren't with words. They're abstract. They're, ideas in music, but it's still an exchange, interchange, sometimes an argument you can hear happening, a disagreement in the music. But it's a beautiful conversation.
That's amazing. So fascinating to hear about that and how that all, comes to play there. So one of the things I saw was you announced a new roster artist who joined you for the fall 2021 season and also be joining you for the Seraphin Summer Music Festival coming up in 2022. Can you just tell the audience a little bit about your new roster artist, Amadi Azikiwe, and what led to him joining your roster this year?
Oh, certainly. Yes, we're so thrilled to welcome Amadi Azikiwe, primarily a violist. He also plays violin and he is a conductor as well. He's based now in New York City, and he is just an absolutely wonderful artist. I love the perspectives and ideas that he brings to our music making and also the spirit of collaboration that he brings. Along with him this week for the concerts in November, we will be joined by Hal Grossman, a longtime colleague of mine who now is based in Oregon, a wonderful violinist, and also the cellist, Jacques-Pierre Milan, who we call JP. JP is a South African background, but he resides in Baltimore now. So that's our core string group, which is basically, it's a string quartet, and we do have a big string quartet on the programming for the November concerts. And we'll be joined by another friend of ours, a new friend. He's not a roster artist at this time, but we're delighted to collaborate with harpsichordist Gabriel Benton, who is new to the Wilmington area, well, relatively. And he will help us support the wonderful artistry of countertenor Gus Mercanti. So it's a very rich and varied programming that's happening in November, and we're really excited about it.
Awesome. And that's good jump in. I wanted to ask too, because I had seen that Mr. Benton was going to be joining for the November performances. What does the addition of this harpsichord bring to the performances people will be able to see in November?
So we wanted to program some Handel arias for Gus Mercanti to be featured in these two Seraphin programs that we're doing. And Gus is frequently part of the artistry for Seraphin Summer Music as well. Okay. To do Baroque period, almost anything, but certainly segments from operas from the Baroque era, the continuo part played on the harpsichord is essential. It's like the glue that holds the whole ensemble together. So it can be done without it, just a cello playing the bass line, but when you have the richness and also the tone color of the harpsichord, which is very distinctive, it really completes the ensemble. And we're just delighted that Gabriel Benton is in town now and a wonderful addition to the musical landscape in our area. And we're going to have a great time collaborating with him on several arias by George Frederick Handel. Handel wrote, I think, over 40 operas, and there, I mean, he's just one of the pinnacle composers of the Baroque era, right up there with Bach. So we're pleased to be able to bring Baroque repertoire to our programming. Normally, that's a bit of a stretch for us to do stylistically, since we don't play period instruments, but it's in the role of the strings and continuo on the harpsichord, supporting the voice. This is going to be very, very suitable and very stylistic.
Awesome. That's great to hear. And just kind of going into that, I do want to mention, so as we said, you opened up your programming at the end of October, but you do have two concerts, and we briefly kind of talked about this coming up in November. So I wanted to get out there that the first one is coming up on they're both coming up in the next kind of week or so. Can you tell us what two dates are for the two November concerts?
Sure. Seraphin Ensemble will be playing on the series at St. Peter's Episcopal Church in Lewis, Delaware, on Friday, November 11th at 7:00. And then a couple of days later, on Sunday the 14th, we will play the opening concert of the Arts at Trinity series here in Wilmington, which is celebrating its 10th anniversary season, which is we're very honored to open that season. We've had a long time relationship with the Arts at Trinity, and we love playing in that space and to that audience. And they have a beautiful Steinway concert grand piano. We are not using it in this concert. We're using the harpsichord instead. But when we come back in the spring, we will be using their gorgeous piano.
That's amazing. So I want to keep on the programming and on these two upcoming concerts. But first, I just want to take a minute to remind our listeners that you are tuned into News Radio 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOV for Delaware State of the Arts. And that today I'm talking with Kate Ransom, the artistic director and violinist of Seraphin Ensemble. And as we were saying, Seraphin Ensemble has two performances coming up in the next week or so, one in Lewis and one in Wilmington here. And so, Kate, could you let us know what kinds of things do you have in store for the audience in these concerts? I know we briefly touched on some of the musicians who will be joining for them, but could you elaborate on what the audiences will get to hear when they arrive?
Sure. So the programs have a lot of overlap. So we're sharing the same repertoire in two venues that are far apart, mm-hmm. geographically far apart. And I guess the emphasis in this programming is more an emphasis on variety rather than thematic connection. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's just great to have a lot of different styles of music in one program, and that's what we have for this. So we have a string quartet by Beethoven. It's sort of the centerpiece of the program. It's the middle quartet, in other words, a quartet from his middle of three compositional stylistic periods of his life and his work. And it's Opus 74 in E flat major, and it carries the subtitle, The Harp. And some of the ways that he utilizes the string instruments throughout the piece seem to imitate the way that a harp sounds when it's played. So I don't believe he gave it the nickname harp, but it's picked that up over the years. In addition, we have a beautiful little duo for violin and viola that I will play with our new roster artist, Amadi Ezekiwe, on viola to open the Trinity program. It's by Peter Schickley, and it's a beautiful work called Little Suite for Autumn. And it really, truly evokes a lot of the characteristics of autumn and the feel of autumn, what it feels like when the weather gets a little cold and the wind kicks up and things in the natural world start to quiet down in a way. So those are two of the pieces that we'll play on the first half of the Trinity program. And we'll play the Beethoven also in Lewis. Then to open the second half, a wonderful work that I just adore playing. And it's an unusual configuration for two violins and one viola, no cello. So it's called a terzetto, which means trio, I think, basically, little trio. And it's written by Dvorak, who is, of course, the wonderful tuneful composer from what's now Czechoslovakia, Czech composer, who wrote the New World Symphony, who spent some time in the United States and picked up some of the style of what he heard as American music. So he heard the sounds of spirituals, and he heard Native American musical sounds. And he also experienced what it was like to be in America and whatever that might have evoked for him. So, he didn't spend a long time in the United States, but it was a very significant time. This piece is just gorgeous and substantial. And so Hal Grossman and I will be the violinist for that. And Amadi Ezekiwe will play viola. To close the program, we're going to do the set of Handel arias. So Gus Mercante will be singing three arias and an recitative that goes with one of them. And we will also play the overture, which is just for the strings and continuo from Julius Caesar. So we're actually going to close our program with this set when all of us are on stage together, including our guest harpsichordist, Gabriel Benton.
Wow. That, I mean, sounds like a great lineup of, you know, a great show to come check out.
And kind of something for everyone.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. Like there's a lot going on there. It's, you know, like you said, something for everyone there, I think, to enjoy. And I was just kind of wondering, You're the artistic director, and so you're putting these performances together. Both of these upcoming November performances are at churches. Does the location have any impact on the selections you choose to perform during these concerts?
Well, the other idea maybe behind chamber music, the word chamber, meaning small room, it's music that is to be experienced best in an intimate setting. So a smaller venue, not a giant 3,000 seat concert hall. So you'll find many, many concert series of chamber music to take place in these smaller venues, like churches are very commonly the kind of place where chamber music concerts take place. So that's one way. It's just that those are the venues often where we are invited to play. Okay. The other thing, though, is that the sound in churches is often very resonant, sometimes overwhelmingly resonant, which can be challenging. But these two venues have beautiful resonance that still has enough clarity to be wonderful places to play. And I do think that especially incorporating the Baroque music, the continuo on the harpsichord and the voice, mm-hmm. I would say I am inspired by these spaces to put that on the program. Programming is one of my favorite things to do. There's, like I said, just a massive amount of repertoire, and finding interesting combinations of repertoire to share with audiences is challenging. You want them to enjoy the experience all the way through the concert and not have everything sound the same, if you will, either stylistically or in the instrumentation. So that's another wonderful thing that the Serafin roster offers, because we have such a lineup of different instruments, and including the voice.
Great. Yeah, that was actually one of the things I was going to kind of go into was, What are the things you do think about and try to keep in mind when you're putting these programs together? Because, again, like you said, you have a roster of artists who you can work with, and you mentioned this large repertoire. Are there anything else that, like, you sit and think about when you're designing these performances?
Sure, I do. One thing is who I want to invite to participate. Mm-hmm. So I want them to shine. You know, I want their traits to come across to the audience. And so, you know, I will program accordingly. In the Serafin Summer Music Festival in June, those programs are all, and we, you know, we have 3 weeks worth of programs. So that's, you know, quite a treasure trove. Yeah. And those are all themed. So, you know, the first season we did a program called Bohemian Gems. So we had works by all composers from Bohemia. And so then you have to find contrast in different ways when you're going to do, say, all Russian program or all French. But there's a huge amount of variety from every cultural area and every heritage. So you don't have to have a program where everything sounds the same. Instrumentation, changing up the instrumentation also gives a great deal of variety for the audience, even if you're doing a thematic program. And sometimes people love to come and hear like all Beethoven or all Mozart, just because some composers are so beloved.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I saw, it seems like the Serafin Summer Music Festival, you've already begun planning that out and working that. I saw it was up on the website. Would you like to give the audience a taste of what's scheduled for next summer?
Just to say, it is all planned and all the artists have committed, and it's another stellar lineup of people coming from all over the country to collaborate over 3 weeks in Delaware. And I think that's pretty exciting too, to become a hub for these artists to join and get acquainted with Delaware. I mean, I love that connection. So I would actually just say, go check out the website, Serafin Ensemble. That's Serafin. Ensemble, SerafinEnsemble.org. And there's a lot of information there, specific artists and their biographies, and also the programming. So, yeah.
Check Amazing. It. Well, I hope that's where they're going. And would that be the same place they could go to learn about these two shows coming up in November?
Most definitely. You can find out more specifics about the programming. You can read about the backgrounds of the artists. And the Arts at Trinity is free, and they aren't doing advanced reservations, but you can find out the locations and how to get tickets if it's ticketed.
So just a reminder for people, that was seraphin.org.
Seraphin Ensemble. One word, Seraphin Ensemble, and it's Seraphin Ensemble.org. Thank you, Caitlin.
Oh, no, I apologize for that. I had it written here, and it just still came out that way, SeraphinEnsemble.org. We have about a minute left. So, again, could you just let the audience know when the two performances in November are and where they can view them?
Sure. So Friday, November 11th at 7 o'clock at St. Peter's Church, Episcopal Church in Lewis, Delaware. And then Sunday, November 14th at 4 o'clock at the Arts at Trinity, which is Trinity Episcopal Parish in downtown Wilmington.
Amazing. And listen, we're coming to the close of our show. And I just really wanted to thank you, Kate, for joining us again here on Delaware State of the Arts and giving our listeners an idea of the amazing things you're going to all be doing in these two upcoming performances. It sounds like they're both really exciting and something that shouldn't be missed.
Thanks so much for having me, Caitlin.
All right. Well, thank you so much. That we've come to the end of our time. As I said, I'd like to thank Kate Ransom of Seraphin Ensemble for joining us today. It was great speaking with you, and thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Have a good day. After the interview, we realized that we said the wrong date for Seraphin Ensemble's upcoming performance in Lewis. The correct date for the performance at St. Peter's Episcopal Church in Lewis is Friday, November 12th at 7 p.m. The date given for the performance at the Arts at Trinity in Wilmington, that being Sunday, November 14th at 4 p.m., is correct.